what it is, because I wanted to make the connection with the theme of the workshop. So, well, first of all, thank you to the organizers of this workshop for inviting me. So, first of all, I want to present the people who have been involved in this work on one-dimensional wave turbulence. So I think the key figure in this work is Vladimir Zakharov from the Landau Institute for Theoretical Physics in Moscow, and also he has a position at University of Arizona in Tucson. And so he's been working on weak turbulence for a lot of years now. And incidentally, this year he got the Dirac Medal for his work on wave turbulence. Then one of his collaborators from Russia, Andrei Pushkarev, who now has his own company in Arizona. And then Philippe Guyenne, who was one of my PhD students and who is now a postdoc at McMaster University, so nearby. And Oleg Vasiliev, who is a postdoc of Vladimir Zakharov at the Landau Institute. So, well, I don't want to go too much into the details of weak turbulence, but I will, of course, say a few words about what it is. So, a lot of physical problems involve random nonlinear dispersive waves. So, one example I've been looking at is water waves. So, we heard about water waves this morning, and we'll hear about water waves again in this meeting. So that's one of the fields where we have nonlinear dispersive waves, and there are a lot of applications in plasma physics and in, well, I don't want to describe all the fields. And one tool for the statistical description of these waves is a kinetic equation for squared wave amplitude. So some history, the kinetic wave equation for water waves was derived by Hasselmann in 1962 and Zakharov in 1968 independently. And once the kinetic equation has been derived, the shape of the wave number spectrum can be predicted by the so-called weak turbulence theory. So why do we say weak? Well, because essentially it deals with resonant interactions between small amplitude waves. And so we've seen this morning that in the water wave problem, for example, these resonances can be important. And the weak turbulence theory so leads to explicit analytical solution of the kinetic equation provided some assumptions are made. So, of course, we'll come back on these assumptions because they are crucial to the theory. And are they always true? That's important question. Now, surprisingly, well, there has been some experimental evidence of weak turbulence theory, and here I say in three-dimensional waves. So actually, today I will talk about one-dimensional wave, which means only one direction in the horizontal direction. And so 2D, when I talk about 2D, will refer to the 3D water wave problem, because 2D in the surface. So for 2D waves, there has been some experimental evidence, for example, for capillary waves, by at least three groups independently, one in Russia, one in Denmark, and one in at UCLA. But from a numerical point of view, there have been very few studies to check the validity of weak turbulence theory. So the a very important paper in this respect is the paper which came out in 1997 by Maida, McLaughlin, and Tabak, so entitled One Dimensional Model for Dispersive Wave Turbulence. And essentially, they worked on a model equation, so I will say a few words about this model equation, And they did some numerics. And the conclusion was that, well, weak turbulence does not really work. So in the past, so this was in 97, so in the past 6 years, the group at the Current Institute, and there is one representative here, David Kai, and so on our side, we did quite a bit of numerical computations to really understand what was going on, since weak turbulence does not seem to work. Now, I emphasize here that the picture is completely different in one-dimensional case and two-dimensional case, but my talk today is on the one-dimensional case. So here's the MMT, so I will call it the MMT model now, it's an accepted name for it. So it's a simple model with here a linear term, well, it's easier to see it if we go to a Fourier space, and then the nonlinear part here. So for the numerics, we can choose the alpha. Alpha essentially measures the dispersion. Beta is a measure of the nonlinearity. That's the power here. And then there is a third parameter, lambda, here, which can be plus or minus 1. So with the plus 1 case, it will be a defocusing case. And with the lambda equals negative 1, it will be a focusing case. And a special case is when beta is 2 and alpha is, beta is 0 and alpha is 2, and it's simply the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. So in Fourier space, this is just the equation I wrote down, so it has a nicer look. So dispersion here, linear part, and then the nonlinear part with this kernel here. So one thing I want to emphasize is when you derive the kinetic equation and then try to find the Kolmogorov-Zaharoff solutions of this kinetic equation, then it's only the modulus of T which comes into the picture. So for the weak turbulence theory, there is no difference between the focusing and defocusing case. And of course, in the numerics, we will see quite a bit of a difference between the two cases. But for the weak turbulence theory, there is no difference. So this system is Hamiltonian, so I will talk a lot about the linear part of the Hamiltonian, so sometimes I will call it E, or H sub L, and the nonlinear part of the Hamiltonian here. And then it has some conserved quantities, in addition to H, N, the modulus of psi square, and momentum too is conserved. And also it allows for resonant interaction between four waves. You don't have interaction between three waves in this model, but only between four waves. And to have non-trivial solutions of this interaction equation, then you need alpha in the dispersion term to be less than 1. So what I will talk about today will be with alpha equals 1/2, which incidentally gives the same type of dispersion relation as for gravity waves in deep water. Now, variable I will use, and this is in connection with waterways, is this variable eta, obtained from psi and omega in this way. And for the waterway problem, it's just the elevation of the free surface. So even for the MMT model, it will be a useful variable to work with. So for the weak turbulence description, the key assumptions are random phase approximation and Gaussian statistics. And then the statistical behavior is described by the evolution of this two-point correlation function, N, here. And then we can obtain the kinetic equation. dN dt is this expression here. So again, here, as I said, it only depends on the modulus of T, so it doesn't matter if it's focusing or defocusing. Now, this is N that we talked about earlier. So these two quantities, N and E, will be important in the following. So N is the integral of small n, and E is the integral of n times omega. So I will refer to that as quadratic energy, and this as number of particles if that's the terminology from quantum physics, but sometimes we call it wave action. So for this kinetic equation, there are two types of stationary solutions. Thermodynamic equilibria, and we are not interested in these solutions here, and some Kolmogorov-type solutions with some flux of energy or some flux of particles of wave action. So then, essentially what we want to do is to compare what the numerics give compared to the prediction for these Kolmogorov-type solutions. So this is the direct cascade, 1 over k. And then this is an inverse cascade, and k to the minus 5 over 6. That's for alpha equals 1 half and beta equals 0. So just an example. So we have this expression here for any alpha and beta. So here's the summary of the numerical results on the MMT model. I will present some of them later on, but here I want to make this summary. And so the conclusion is that there is really doubts in the universal applicability of the weak turbulence, of scenario of weak turbulence. So in the focusing case or defocusing case, weak turbulence theory does not really work. So what happens is that in general, wave turbulence is not completely weak, and coherent nonlinear structures may interfere. And inside such structures, phase correlation is very strong. So then there is a violation of the phase randomness assumption. So we will deal with four types of coherent structures: solitons, quasi-solitons. In a couple of minutes, I will explain what it is. Collapses and a broad collapse, which will come into, that's a terminology we use to explain what we observe. And essentially, in the defocusing model, it will be the quasi-solitonic turbulence, which will dominate. And in the focusing case, it will be collapses. And so for the collapse, we will obtain a spectrum which decays faster than the Kolmogorov spectrum. So, I mentioned collapses and quasi-solitons. So, I'm sorry about this transparency. I have this talk in French and in English, and the French transparency got mixed in the English transparencies. But I guess it's okay. This is Canada, so I think there are two official languages.
Okay, it's politically correct.
So, I heard the speech by Chrétien last night, and he used both languages. collapse can be introduced as a self-similar solution. So if we look for psi in this form, we will look for the formation of a singularity at finite time, t naught. And then, here this p here, this power, is a function of beta and alpha, the two main parameters, dispersion and nonlinearity. Now, we have some conditions to be respected for the appearance of collapse. So, for example, this integral here must converge when k goes to infinity. Then h must remain finite as t approaches t naught. So, then it can be only, of course, in the focusing case. So, there are some conditions for the appearance of collapse. So when these conditions are met, then we can have the formation of singularity in the physical plane. And then we can get a spectrum for this case, which is different from the Kolmogorov spectrum. Sometimes we call it the Phillips spectrum, in analogy with the spectrum for water waves. And so this is the form here. And essentially from a purely dimensional argument, if you argue that the linear part of the Hamiltonian has the same order of magnitude as the nonlinear part, then you exactly get this spectrum here. And essentially what can happen in collapses, the Hamiltonian stays constant, but the nonlinear part and the linear part becomes large, but since there is a minus sign between the two, H remains constant. This collapse was? Yes, yes. Most of it is a review talk. Yes? The exponent for the. So, collapses, now the other type of a coherent structure, which will play a big role in the defocusing case, is quasi-solitons. So let me just try to explain. If you have, let's say you look for solutions of the form exponential of I omega t times a function of x minus bt. So then in the equation you will get the denominator minus omega plus kv minus k alpha, and then you want this to be non-zero. So the if you take a dispersion relation like for the NLS case, omega is k to the 2, k square, then this is the dispersion relation. And then if you plot this line, kv minus omega, then you can, in this case, when they come close to each other, you will get solitons at this particular value of k. Now, this is the dispersion relation for capillary gravity water waves. And again, it's known that you can get envelope solitons at the minimum of the dispersion relation. This is this case. So in these cases, you can get true solitons. Now, if you take gravity waves, you have a dispersion like square root of k. Then, if you take one of these lines, it will always intersect. Well, if the speed is non-zero, it will always intersect the dispersion relation at some point. So then, and this is what happens, so here you would have a soliton, but then there is also a periodic wave. And so essentially the sum of the energy is going to radiate into this periodic part here. So this is what we will call quasi-solitons, a solitonic part, but also some radiation into in the tail in the form of a periodic wave. Now the thing is, these quasi-solitons can have a lifetime which is quite large, so then they can be observed, and so from our purpose they are essentially solitons. So here I'm going to present some of numerical results on this MMT model. So, some of these results have been obtained by the current institute's team and by our team. And then I will present some new results in the case when beta is 3. Now, why did we choose beta equals 3? Because it's exactly the nonlinearity for water waves, if we make an analogy between the Hamiltonian for water waves and this MMT model. So for the numerical code, pseudo-spectral plus fourth order Runge-Kutta in time. And so actually the current institute team has been working with a lot more modes that we've been doing. So I will present four cases, two focusing cases, two defocusing, and each time with different nonlinearities. So let me maybe begin with the spectrum that we obtain. I will show the spectrum, but in the defocusing case, when we looked at the spectrum and some of the graphs, we had the idea of explaining it with wave collapse. So again, as I said, it can provide a fast transport of wave particles to high frequencies. And if nonlinear part of Hamiltonian and linear part become big, but the sum remains finite, then we can have this type of phenomena. Yes? All the numerics is directly on the PDE, not on the kinetic equation. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a typical picture that we got in the focusing case with beta equals zero. And then the formation, so this is time here, x, and then psi of x squared. So the formation of this singularity. So then if we take a single mode, so for example, the k equals 200 mode, and so this is the time for a transform of this psi of k squared versus frequency omega. And so there are two components. The big component here, and then with a nonlinear frequency shift, we can see it here. So square root of 200 is about 14. So 14 is here, the peak is here, so there is a frequency downshift. And then there is also a part here, which is at about zero frequency. And this is due to the collapse. Now another experiment we did was to begin with a solution at time t zero of this form and let it evolve in time. And then there is this formation of this collapsing peak. So another evidence of what happens in that case. What? No, well, it depends on, because in most experiments we put some forcing and then some damping. So then it will, but I will come back to this later on. Yeah. But here in this case it was just this, and after that, you know, it's, we stopped. So this is the spectrum. Now the line here is the theoretical weak turbulence spectrum. This is the computed spectrum. And so there are, well, in terms of the slope, actually, it's not too bad. But there is a level, because the weak turbulence theory can even predict the amplitude here in terms of the flux. So then the there is one order of magnitude between the straight line and the observed spectrum. So now I still continue on the focusing case, but with the beta equals 3, strong nonlinearity. And so here is what we observe. Well, in various experiments, there are different initial conditions. But here, there was definitely, so this is the N, it increases quite sharply. And then diminishes, and then it repeats again. This is the level of nonlinearity, so rather small most of the time, and then some bursts here. And then this is the damping, which occurs, of course, which explains, you know, when it comes high, and then it goes down again, and there's a lot of damping here. So what we, so how can we explain what happens? So here, actually, the initial condition was just a low-level random noise. And so here, there is no stationary state, which is obtained. So we try to explain this with, actually, this is just in a log scale. to show that there is almost an exponential growth of wave amplitude. So we try to explain this with a shortwave instability. So here's some plot of the psi square as a function of x at various times. And so here, there is this shortwave instability which develops. And this is what we call this broad collapse, in the sense that it's not at a single point in space that this focusing of energy takes place, but along an interval in space. So we call this the broad collapse. And then, after that, it just goes back to this state that we have. So this is just a zoom of the region of the broad collapse. So it's not at a single point that this instability occurs. So now, so that's it for the focusing. Now let's go to the defocusing. And again, I'm going to present some results with beta equals 0 and then beta equals 3. Now, this is the spectrum we obtain in the defocusing case, so with lambda equals plus 1 now. And here, the level of turbulence is relatively good, but the slope of the spectrum is quite different in the numerics and the in the analytical prediction. So, well, the thing is, you should only look at the inertial range for the comparison somewhere here, because the forcing was here. Forcing was at these wave numbers, and then dissipation. So again, I mean, that's one thing I didn't emphasize. I mean, to be able to get these solutions, Kolmogorov-type solutions, I mean, you want the energy to flow. So you have to put some energy somewhere, and then to dissipate it at the end. So the forcing was precisely in this region where there is the. So now let's try to make the connection with the quasi-solitons. So here, well, we just start with a solution like this, and we let it evolve in time, and it essentially stays what it is. Now, if we take two quasi-solitons and let them interact, they essentially have an what we expect for the collision. So this is the initial condition, and then they interact, and then at the end, this is the small one, and it's in front of the big one. So, well, these were the computations that we made for beta equals 1/2, and then we went to beta equals 3. And this is, I would say, the most important part of the talk in terms of new results. So again, I say that beta equals 3 is the kernel for gravity waves. So this case, well, we thought would mimic gravity waves in some sense. Square root of k. So square root of k and beta equals 3, which is exactly the same as the water wave equation. So essentially what we got, so we use different types of initial conditions. But essentially, the wave system was separated into several soliton-like moving structures and low-amplitude quasi-linear waves. So now this is the same experiment as before, with beta equals 3. We take this quasi-soliton. Now, before, it was just the envelope. Here's the, this is the full elevation now. And it just propagates, but now there is an instability which develops here. And then actually here, there is a strong singularity in the slope of the envelope soliton. So the slope of eta almost becomes discontinuous at this point here. So if we look at, so this was the first experiment. Now here, this is the evolution of time. So what did we start with? Just a monochromatic wave, and we put on top of it a small perturbation. So as time evolves, there are these singularities which develop. Now this is not so here we have a chain of quasi-solitons in some sense, and then this is the so one of them becomes unstable, and then eventually this champion quasi-soliton is going to collapse, and then we can associate this with wave breaking in the ocean. Yeah, so this is in some sense almost a modulational instability. Now the now this is another set of experiments with some forcing that we chose to represent wind for waterways and damping. And we observe almost a linear growth of n in time. This is the Hamiltonian, also a linear growth. Then this is the level of nonlinearity, and this is the average frequency. And we start with noise. So the this is the same experiment with wind forcing and damping. And this is the psi of x squared versus x at different times. And so here we see this concentration of waves in some chaotic oscillating groups. And then here, we can call this again quasi-soliton. So in all these experiments, there is this evidence of the presence of quasi-solitons. Now, three successive times of the same run. Now here, this is a measure of the spatial distribution of energy damping versus x, and we see this intermittency. This is again at three successive times. And so there is also this intermittency, which is a key feature here. So the damping is created by the breaking event. So now if we try to look at some spectra now. So the interesting thing is that, so we put some wind forcing, but there were not only downwind waves, but also some upwind waves. So the upwind waves here and the downwind waves. Now, if we look at the spectrum, for the upwind waves, it's very close to the Kolmogorov spectrum predicted by the theory. For the downwind, then it's closer to the Phillips spectrum. This is at the early stage, and then if we wait sufficiently long, then we get Kolmogorov spectrum both for upwind waves and downwind waves. I didn't put the slopes, but it's close to the k to the minus 3. Now, if we look at the a plot of eta of x versus x, if we look at, for example, the Ka, for the wave of maximum amplitude, it's close to 0.6. So it's a very steep wave. So now, if we pursue the analogy, would it be the same to explain freak waves in gravity waves? I mean, this is just with a question mark. So, the conclusion on this defocusing case, where we think that it's quasi-solitonic turbulence which dominates. So we can summarize as follows. We have the generation of waves, mostly short by wind, then the formation of quasi-solitons, initially small, then the emerging of quasi-solitons and the formation of large quasi-solitons, the instability of large quasi-solitons and the appearance of collapses in the way of wave breaking, then the formation of direct cascade, and so the equilibrium is achieved, the Kolmogorov spectrum is achieved at large. Okay. So, that's the results on the, all of this was on the MNT model. Now, the couple of things, I have 5 minutes, well, I want to leave minutes for discussion. So before I put the conclusion, well, when we did this with Zahav, of course he was a bit disappointed that weak turbulence theory is not that universal. So he said, well, let's imagine a system where, well, we have the right dispersion to have the resonant interaction. We cannot have quasi-solitons, because in order to have quasi-solitons, there are some inequalities to satisfy. No possibility of collapse. So then in that case, there are no possible coherent structures. So then we should get weak turbulence theory. So this is the model that Zahav came with. It's a 1D model with two types of interacting waves. So this is a combination of two MMT equations in some sense, with a coupling here, S, for the dispersion. So same dispersion here, same nonlinear kernel. And then we can do the weak turbulence theory for this model. And so exactly the same as before. So again, we get two Kolmogorov type solutions, one for a finite flux of wave action and one for a finite flux of energy. So we did the numerical computations, and this is what we observed. Now, we have two waves interacting, so we have these two spectra. The theory is the dashed line, and the numerical results are the... not only the slope and the level of turbulence. So this was... So actually, Philippe Guyenne did the computations for this. So, and Zahav really wanted to get convinced. So he asked us to do this. And then he came up with another model. And he asked one of the Russian postdoc to look at this. This is Oleg Vasiliev. And so here, he chose, this is like the beginning, it's like the MMT model. And then there is this additional term here. And then in that case, you can have a different type of four-wave interaction. Before it was between, two waves give two waves. And now here it's three waves give one wave. So there are non-trivial 1-3 processes. So again, in this system, no possibility for quasi-solitons, no possibility for collapse. So it should work. And so this is the result. This is the theory, and these are the numerical results here. So again, a pretty good agreement between the weak turbulence theory Well, yeah, there is the agreement is not as good as in the previous case, but it's not a one order of magnitude less than that. Okay, so it's I think it's time for a conclusion, but the conclusion will be it's short in writing, but now the first one is the MMT model is not the water wave model. Now, some of you may know that, well, Walter knows that, that, well, if you pursue the analogy between the MMT model and the water wave model, I mean, water wave equations, so in terms of the Hamiltonian, so we can make the dispersion match, nonlinearity match, but the problem is that for water waves, once you have satisfied the four-wave condition, well, the coefficient T, which appears in the nonlinearity, is exactly zero on the resonant manifold. So then it means that four-wave resonance is not that relevant in 1D dimensional water waves. So then you have to go to next order, to the fifth-order term, and then there are some five-wave resonance. So it's the picture is different. Now the second conclusion is all this was one dimensional. 1D is not 2D, and in two dimensions, weak turbulence theory works much better. So there is some agreement, as I said, between experiments and weak turbulence theory for capillary waves. Now there are some very recent numerical results by Diachenko and Zaharov showing that there is agreement for gravity waves. So calculations on almost the full water wave equation in 2D. So here, 1D is really special. Now, of course, it makes things easier, I mean, in terms of computations, and but in terms of the physics here, there is really a big difference between 1D and 2D. So I will stop here. Oh no, it's not a no. It was our it's not a negative comment in the sense that it's. Oh, no.
And second question is, what exactly makes you think 1D is different to 2D? I mean, numerically, yes, it tells you something, but what would be your insight?
Well, I think it's it has to do with the fact that to satisfy these resonance conditions in 1D is much more difficult than in 2D. I think that's the main. What I'm saying is in actually what I'm saying here is nothing against the MMT model, but about the one-dimensional model for water waves. So now these predictions, I mean, what I presented is for one-dimensional wave turbulence. No, I'm not making any prediction for collapses and quasi-solitons in 2D.
What would be your thought about what would make 1D so different from 2D, aside from the same?
Well, okay, I said the for the resonance, which are more difficult to meet in 1D case. Now, for the the thing is, of course, 2D is not 1D. But in real waterways, for example, there are a lot of instances where the spectrum is actually quite narrow in angle. So then it's almost a one-dimensional case. Now, and the thing is about the comparison between the MMT model and waterways with just same nonlinearity. the problem is this coefficient which vanishes for water waves.
Yes,
so
it's not about one wave.
Yes.
Okay, really, that if I have a system which has a resonance structure in it, now in 1D and 2D, why makes them so different? That's the issue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think I want to be cautious. And so I don't want to extrapolate to